So good to see some of our Tuesday Bible study folks out here this morning. Thank you all for being here. I won't tell your pastors you slipped away. But our pastor, J.D., is, I've told most of the congregation here already, where he's gone to a family reunion this morning. And that gave me the opportunity to fill in. And I get excited every time he calls on me. Now, I used to get scared. I think I'm getting used to it. But I know when I stand up, God stands up with me. And I'm just telling you, get ready, whoever you are. God is here this morning to minister to you, whatever your need may be. I'm going to look at a familiar verse of Scripture. I've already shared it with one of our members and asked her if she ever looked at it that way, and she told me no. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John. Chapter 14. And I want you to look and read with me verses 1 through 14 this morning. Now I read out of the New King James. Doesn't matter what you read out of. If you come to Tuesday Bible study, you know in there we have 10, 12 maybe different versions of the Bible. But this is how it reads in the New King James, beginning in John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What in your mind is the hardest command of God to keep? Is it coveting? Thou shalt not covet. How about in a materialistic minded world, we shouldn't bear false witness? Or maybe over there in Philippians where Paul wrote, do everything without complaining and arguing. Pretty tough things to follow, aren't they? But what I want you to look at, I want you to look at verse 1 again, where he says, let not your heart be troubled. That is a command of God. In other words, don't let anything bother you to the point that it distracts you from serving me to the full potential. That's what he's telling them here. Don't worry about things. They will take care of themselves. That is a command. It's not just something he's telling these guys, hey, don't be worried, you know, everything's going to be all right. No, he says, let not your heart be troubled. And he's talking to you and me this morning as well, because we allow things to distract our attention from giving God 100% of us. All these commands that are there. There's a lot to be troubled about. I won't kid you. You know as well as I do. All the potential war threats that are going on. All the terrorist attacks. All the political corruption. Crime. Violence. All this stuff. Even the economy. And now we can add to all those little what ifs. What if I have an accident? What if I lose my job? And on and on and on, life piles it on daily. He warned us in another portion of his word that we would have trouble in this world. He said, but don't worry about it, because he has overcome the world. And if we're in him, he's in us, we are overcomers, are we not? I expected a shout right there, I didn't get it. Okay. Today, if you've got heart trouble, you can relax a little bit because you're in good company. Look at what we just read. Here are the disciples. Those that walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, sat with him, ate with him, slept with him, did everything with Jesus right beside their sides. And what's he telling these guys who are supposedly believers? Believe. Believe. If you have a heart problem, here's the answer of how to overcome it. Verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There's a guarantee, folks, if you're in Christ. That's a promise fulfilled in the Christian this morning. You have a place. So don't worry about that part of it. Back it up to the latter part of verse 1. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. How do I get over my heart trouble? I believe in God. Is it easy to do? No, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it is. When the pressures of life are on, it's hard. But that's the time we need to stand. We can stand when it's easy, when things are going our way, when we don't have a problem. It's easy to stand. It's easy to raise a hand and praise the Lord. But you let the chips fall, and it becomes an increasingly harder task to raise that hand and praise the Lord. Why? Do we not believe in God and believe in Jesus? Have we lost that? He's telling them in this passage of Scripture, look, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. My Father has a mansion with many rooms in it. Is he talking about a building here? That's what we think when we read it. That's all he's talking about. He's got this big, huge palatial estate up there, and our name is on one of the rooms. And when we get ready to go home to the Lord, he'll go in there and he'll make up the bed and clean up and dust it down and all this stuff. No, that's not what he's saying. The actual truth is, this reference is into back in the old times, talking about the Father's house was a place where a community came together in love and fellowship. Does that sound a little bit like heaven? We had this little discussion this past Tuesday in our class. We thought maybe all us Baptist folks were going to have our own little corner. Elaine's laughing. She knows. She remembers. We're not going to be like that. We're going to love everybody, and everybody's going to love us. If you are a saved soul, you will be there. I don't care what you call yourself outside of a sinner saved by grace. You're going to be there. Well, I don't know that I can get along with them Mormon folk. If they're saved, guess what? You won't know their Mormons. Thank you, Elaine. You're right. We just know that they're a brother and sister in Christ, and we're going to love on them. And they're going to love on us. The disciples here have a problem. They're getting troubled. Why are they getting troubled? Because Jesus is telling them, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to die. They didn't think so. They thought he was going to always be around from day one till day end. But Jesus, nope, I got to go do this because it's what my Father wants me to do. I'm going in obedience to what my Father says for me to do, not what I want to do. So they've got to prepare in their own hearts belief. Because he said, oh, if I go, I will come again. Do we still believe Jesus is coming? We shake our heads, yeah, we do. But do we? Do we really believe it? Do we look for him every day? Do we wake up in the morning and say, well, he didn't come last night, I'm still here. That ought to make us do a self-check right there. Make sure everything's still in order. And if he doesn't come that day, do we say, okay, Lord, if you come tonight, I'm ready. Or do we just say, well, I got another day, I'll go do what I need to do. Jesus is telling these disciples right here, I am going to come again, and when I come, I'm going to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you're going to be also. Now, we look over at the next verse, where Thomas looks at him. Now, you remember doubting Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas had this thought in his head. He thought, seeing is believing. You ever think, well, I'll believe it when I see it? You ever said it? What happened to faith? Faith just disappeared in that saying right there, didn't it? I'll believe it when I see it. No, you believe it. Later you'll see it. So we walk by faith, folks, not by sight. Well, I got two eyes, yeah. I do too. We walk by faith. What we're looking at here is he's telling them, I'm going to die. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right because I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to take you with me. You know where I'm going. Thomas goes, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know how to get there. What did Jesus say next? I am the way. Do you know the way to the Father this morning? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You go to the Father through Jesus. Notice something here, because I've heard a lot of talk lately about, oh, there's this way to get to the heaven, and there's that way to get to heaven, and there's this other way to get to heaven. Notice what God's word itself has to say about that right there. What does it say? He tells them, plain and simple, nobody comes to the Father but through me. Now, I'm sorry to all those other folks that think there's different ways to get there. They need to read that verse of Scripture. If they believe this Bible at all, from this part of it at the front to this part of it at the back, they need to read that verse of Scripture. There's one way and one way only, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, all this is suggesting to me, at least, that heart trouble can be cured. I'm not talking about physical heart trouble this morning. I'm talking about all those things that weigh us down, all those things that rob us of our joy, all those things that rob us of our faith. I'm talking about that. Whatever you're going through this morning, if you look over into the Gospels where Paul wrote over in here in Colossians and Ephesians and over in there, he says, our troubles are only temporary. They're not going to last the rest of your life. You'll get through them. It may seem like it's lasting the rest of your life, but you will get through it. Jesus told the disciples the simple way to overcome your problem, your heart trouble, believe. Now, is that just simply say, okay, Lord, I believe. Not a problem. I got it. Why is it we can believe Jesus for salvation, but we can't believe him for anything else? Because we worry. We allow that worry to get in there. Well, what's the difference? I've harped on this quite a bit. What's the difference in that faith? Is there a different faith for salvation and a different faith to believe for deliverance from a problem? Or is it the same faith? Well, let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. verses 19 and 20. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? He worked in Christ the same power when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. In other words, resurrection power. Each individual truly believing Christian has resurrection power. What is that? That's power to believe. Power that's so strong it raised the dead. You have that power. I have that power if we truly believe. That's why James wrote over there in my favorite little part of his book. When you pray, don't doubt. Believe. You want something? Believe God for it. If it's in his will, he'll give it to you. It may not be that instant. It may be a month or two or three or maybe even a year down the road. But keep believing because God will deliver. He has never failed one single promise yet. And he won't. I'll guarantee you can count on God when you can't count on anybody else. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." I got a question from God one day. He says, "Are we living proof of that evidence? Are we? Do we live with such faith that we could be convicted on our faith? Anybody? Any of us? Do we live that way? Or when our problems come, do we want to crawl down behind this podium right here and hide?" I'd do it, but John would get upset with me because he couldn't hear me on the microphone. Jesus knows his followers are controlled by what they see. It's no different with you and me. We're controlled by what we see. Let's move on a little bit. Jesus says, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your eyes off of your problem and put them on heavenly things." Does he not tell us to do that in his word? Quit thinking about the things you're up against. Think on things that are heavenly. Be heavenly minded. He tells us that, doesn't he? If I make this statement, how would you feel? Calvary is the beginning of eternity in heaven. I see some heads agreeing with me. Thank you. When a person accepts the Lord as their personal Savior, eternity in God's presence becomes a promise fulfilled to that person, does it not? Then you turn back and you read Matthew 6:33 where he says, "Seek my kingdom first and I will do what? Add everything else into you that you need." We get it backwards. It's I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. Or I need. God says, "I know what you need." You ever read through here and noticed when he's healing people what he does with them? Did he just say, "Okay, you're healed, leave"? Most of the times he says, "Your sins are forgiven and in your faith has healed you now." So it's based on that undoubting faith. Believe. He told the disciples, "Believe. You believe in God, believe in me. Believe what I'm telling you." And then he goes further and he says, "If you don't want to believe that, at least believe in the miracles, the works that I have done." He says, "You're going to do greater things than he did." Does that mean, boy, I'm going to raise the dead? I'm going out here to Dale Memorial Cemetery and get them all up. Is that going to happen? No. What's he talking about? "I'm going to do greater things." What he's talking about is his ministry was restricted to an area. He had to walk where he went or ride a donkey, or he couldn't get in a jet plane and fly. Cody right here has been out to Chicago and back. Didn't take long to get there and back, did it, Cody?
2 hours.
2 hours. I can't go to D.C. in 2 hours. Our ministry is going to reach out further, is what he's talking about. It's going to go to the furthestmost parts of the world. And I hear people going, well, you know, when it gets to that point over there, God's reached every little corner there is. He's going to come, and they'll pick a date. God says, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Because what happens usually after that is I read very shortly after that somewhere in the paper or the news that, hey, we found another part of the world with people in it. It hasn't ended yet, but he's coming. Do you believe? He's coming. Believe it. Let me tell you something here. There are 1,800 references to his coming again. Got that number? 1,800? In the Old Testament. 1,800 references to the second coming in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, 260 chapters. There are more than 300 references in 23 of the 27 New Testament books. You think he's coming again? He's warning us. He's telling us, get yourself straight. I am coming again. He's telling them, believe in me because I've told you. I've got the place ready. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to take you to be with me. But it's through him that we get there. It's no other way. Now, as difficult as our troubles are, like I told you before, they're temporary. Jesus says, if we really knew him, we'd know the Father. Did you read that back there? Did I read it right to y'all back there in John? John's Gospel, chapter 14, where he says, verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father, and from now on, you know him. Three references in one verse that we know who the Father is and we know how to get to him. Poor old Thomas, I feel sorry for him. You know, he had to touch the Lord to believe. He had to question the Lord here to believe. I worry about him. I really do. Be interesting to sit down and talk with him. Is he in heaven? Yeah, he's there. But he says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father. Well, do you know Jesus this morning in a personal relationship? It's not enough just to know about him. You can read this book. I love it when people tell me, I read this thing 1,500 times and something still jumps out and grabs me. Well, guess what? You can read it another 1,500 times and something will still jump out and grab you. God's trying to get it through to us. This is what we live on, right here. We don't live according to man. Man comes and man goes. I was shocked to hear that John McCain had passed so quickly. I knew he went off his medication treatments and stuff like that, but gone in an instant. Proof. No, don't listen to man. We must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not just a head knowledge of him. Everybody can have a head knowledge. You can read, you can take it in, and you've got a knowledge. The question is, do you have the personal relationship? How is your personal relationship? Is it strong? Mark and I were talking before service a little bit this morning about relationships and how they can get rocky sometimes. Is your relationship with the Lord a little rocky? Are you having some trouble, some heart problems that you can't seem to overcome? Jesus says, believe. Plain and simple. Just believe. Don't doubt. Believe. Trust me. I'll conclude it with this. You're getting out early, Jessica, little mama. Jesus tells us that we're going to reach out worldwide to people. He puts people in your path and in my path for us to minister to. He may not send that person to anybody else but you and me. Do we make the most of the opportunity? Or are we kind of like Thomas over here? Well, I can talk to you about the weather. I can talk to you about flowers. I can talk to you about the leaves are starting to fall off the trees. And I can talk to you about anything else. But I can't talk to you about the Lord. Why not? If I turned you loose right now and said, just talk to each other about God, you could do it, couldn't you? Sitting right here in this church. You could look right at the person beside you, the person across the aisle, or the person behind or in front of you, and talk to them about the Lord. So easy. But yet it's difficult for us to talk to a stranger, somebody we know, a family member, about the Lord. Why? Because they know how we used to be. The stranger may not know that. But the stranger may go, I don't want to hear it. My life is good. I've got everything I want. Yes, but do you have what you need? And what they need is Jesus in their lives. Why aren't we willing to open up about the Lord? He said in the latter part of verse 14, whatever we ask of him in his name, he will do, didn't he? Isn't that what the word says? He'll do it. Well, what greater thing can we ask of him than to use us as a witness to lead somebody to the Lord? You want to have a shouting time in church? Baptist shout. Did y'all know Baptist shout? Some of them do. You want to have a shouting time, though. You lead somebody to the Lord. And it's not because you did it. You don't get the glory for it. You can lead them. You can't save them. God saves them. I remember the time in my singing group, we were at a church. And this pastor and his wife and their two kids were sitting on the front pew. We did a fast song, and she started to clap her hands like this. And he gave her one of those. She stopped. Well, confession time. I picked up on it. I said, okay. Turned around and I looked at my buddy Butch and I said, Butch, don't do this next song. I want the next fastest song. We did a song called, anybody know, Let the Church Rise Up? You familiar with that? Dave, you don't? We did that. They were sitting kind of like Jessica and Cody up here, right on the end. The more we got into it, all of a sudden she started this number again and she went with it and he's going, she hit him with an elbow and he fell out in that aisle right there and I said, Lord, gonna lay the preacher out, folks. He just kind of, we never got invited back. I don't know. I don't understand. God says, you ask what you want and I'm going to meet it if it's asked in my name. It's not so much your personal need. It's you ask me to move in behalf of somebody. God's really been dealing with me this week on corporate prayer and how it's lacking in churches. And I think that's what we need this morning, is we need corporate prayer, because I'm telling you, God is talking to somebody's heart. I don't know what the problem is. I don't need to know what the problem is. He knows what it is. So what I want us to do, you can go ahead and stand up. And we're going to test faith this morning. Here's how we're going to test faith. We're going to bow our heads. And I want your eyes shut. Don't be looking around. Don't play one-eyed jack on me either. If you feel God leading you to go pray for somebody, I want you to go pray for that person. Rather, they say, I didn't need prayer. Do it anyway. We all need prayer. So let's pray. I'm going to start it off. And if you feel God moving on you to go pray for somebody, I want you to do it. We'll do it for a few minutes and then we'll bring it and call it done. Let's pray. Father, we are in your presence. Lord, I have been aware of your presence from the very beginning. And Lord, I'm aware of the Holy Spirit who is now moving throughout these pews, Lord. Father, he's reaching down. He's ready to meet a need if we will just say, I need a touch. I have a heart problem. I know the answer is through prayer and believing without doubting, Lord, that you will meet my need. I know you personally, Lord. I know the Father, therefore. And I know your word has said that I can ask whatever I need to be met in you this morning. For it's in your will that you want to meet that need. Now, Lord, I ask you to begin moving right now, all throughout this sanctuary. Father, move on the hearts of those you would have go pray with somebody. Move on those who have a need this morning that need prayer. Father, bless them and use them, I pray, this morning. Lord, I ask you, Lord, if anybody in here has a need right now, whatever it be, spiritual, physical, financial, whatever, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me and the Lord. I've got one. I've got two. I've got three, four. Anybody else? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yes. Okay. Okay. Nobody's moving, so nobody's feeling led to pray with anybody. So here's what we're going to do. Father, I have seen the hands because I was looking. But Lord, you knew before the hands ever went up. And Father, I ask you right now to begin to minister to these people. Lord, as only you can do. I ask for your touch. Lord, if they feel they need to come and pray, I'm down on the floor. Let them come pray with me this morning, Father. I'll pray with them in corporate prayer. I'll bring Cody over. He'll pray with them in corporate prayer. If you feel like you have to come pray, please come now. Take that step of faith. You take one, God will take two. Here they come. Here they come. Keep praying, people. This is corporate prayer time. Pray for these people. Pray for them, Lord. Anybody else want to come up and talk to the Lord about it this morning? This is the time to get it right. God says, this is the time, right now, not next week, not tomorrow, not down the road somewhere. Right now is the time to get it. You need it? Come.
Anybody else? You can sit down if you'd like. We've got a little free room in order to that. That's fine. Good. Just maintain an attitude for everything. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. He's awesome. And I'm telling you, there's absolutely no reason to leave here with a problem, you see. No. Because the one that can meet your needs is you. And he's been here, and he's touched, and he's blessed. And I thank him for that. All right, it's time to go to the announcement section. Anybody got something they want to say? I've got a minute, 1 minute, 1 minute.